Bibles, please, for our first reading to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashen hands defileth not the man. For out of the heart, skip back up two verses. Verse 21 is where we're at. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We have talked much about this first section when we were talking about liberty of conscience and the doctrines and commandments of men, how that the doctrines and commandments of men often push out the doctrine and commandments of God. And this is exactly what we see here in this first section. The issue is the fifth commandment. And so they come to Christ and they say to him, You don't keep the fifth commandment very well, do you? Because your disciples don't follow the tradition of the elders, and neither do you. You don't wash your hands right, like they taught us, like our elders taught us. And so you have no respect for our fathers who taught us how to wash our hands. Now, remember, this is not just what your mommy and daddy tell you at home, that you need to wash your hands before meals and so on. This is not general hygiene, but it was a ritual way of cleansing yourself before a meal. There were steps. Yeah, that's right. They descended down into the level in their quote-unquote applications of the law of God to how you should wash your hands before you eat. That's right. Of course, Jesus blows that apart. He says to them, if you want to talk about the fifth commandment, we can. What you've done is you've built up a false view of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment view that you have built up says that you can ignore the fifth commandment and do what you want. Which is, I don't have to care for my parents anymore because I've dedicated my stuff to God. And so that stuff that I owe to my parents under the fifth commandment, I don't have to give them because, lo and behold, I've given it unto God instead. Now, while in fact they retained control of all of those goods, Jesus does not really go down that road. He tells them simply that they owed that to their parents under the fifth commandment for their care, and they denied that to them, and that is enough to prove the point. Can I tell you that that is one way of erring with regard to the fifth commandment? But you know there is another way of erring regarding the fifth commandment, right? That pertains to this very scenario here. What if those parents of these Pharisees and scribes that were deputized and came down from Jerusalem to talk to Jesus about this, what if those parents said, you need to give us your tithe as well? What if those parents have said, you need to give us those things you owe to God? What would that have been? That would also have been a violation of the fifth commandment, would it not? You see, brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of ways that we can violate the commandments of God. When we talk about the sinfulness of sin, a part of that sinfulness that we talked about a few weeks back is sin's deceitfulness. We believe, Jesus says that there will come a time upon his disciples and upon those who followed after them that people will kill them thinking they're doing God's service. This is how deceitful sin is. And so, if your parents tell you that tithe that you owe to the Lord, we need that. You say, Mom and Dad, I can't do that. I owe that to the Lord. If your parents tell you, children, we're not going to church today. Instead, what we're going to do is I need you to help me do some work around the house. You say, Mom and Dad, listen, we need to go to church because this is the time that we owe to God. But also, if you tell your parents, I'm not ever going to come to see you because I'm dedicating all of my life to the Lord, and so I'm going to be at church every night, well, that also is a violation of the fifth commandment. It is building up the doctrines and traditions and commandments of men so that they displace the word of God, the commandments of God. All right, so then Jesus gives the summary of the entire procedure, and that is that they draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Because if their hearts were near to him, they would do what? They would honor the Lord by honoring their parents. And remember, gentlemen, we love our wives. Wives, we ought to love our husbands. Children, we ought to love our parents. But remember that every particular structure of authority that exists comes from God. And so when we love our wives, and when we love our husbands, and when we love our parents, if we do that outside of our service to God, then we are sinning. We've created an idol. Because all of that obedience to our parents is obedience that we first and foremost owe to God, who told us to honor our parents, our husbands, our wives, our neighbors, and so on. And so it's really easy to tell then, although we're often deceived by it, that is that we get confused and think that we're loving our parents and that we have to pit one commandment of God against another commandment of God, you know, the fourth commandment against the fifth commandment. In God's economy, remember, the Lord never puts you in a position where you must break one commandment in order to keep another. His ethic is not like that. Otherwise, Paul could not write to the Corinthians that there is always a way of escape. When we think we must break one commandment in order to honor another commandment, we have what our Puritan forefathers, William Ames especially, called a case of conscience. And that case of conscience, then, we must bring to those who are over us in authority so that we can get help to our wise Christian friends, so we can get help to wend a straight way through what we think is a case of conscience, where we believe we are bound to sin one way or the other. I guarantee you it's not that way. It's only our confusion that makes it seem that way. All right, so drawing near to God then, instead of drawing near to our own desires masked as serving God. That's what the first section is about. Then in verses 10 through 20, Jesus speaks of the real importance of the washing. Washing is not in and of itself of any consequence. But what it ought to do is remind us that we have hearts that need washing. That we ought to come to God with our sins, confessing them, asking Him to cleanse us. The washing of the hands only points to the washing of the hearts. Now there's a great use for you. Every time you wash your hands before a meal, because you know we believe in germ theory, or every time you wash your hands before you're treating one of your children who has an infection or something like that, and apparently that's really popular right now. Once you do that, when you're washing your hands, every time you wash your hands, remember. Use that as a mnemonic device to remember that your heart needs washing. Isn't that what Jesus points to here? It's not what is on the outside that defiles the man. It's what's on the inside. That's what defiles the man. And so if when we are washing our hands or taking a shower or taking a bath or doing any kind of washing, you know why the Lord gave us washings? Not only so that we'd smell better at the end, right? So that we would remember that our hearts need washing also. What a great use of that daily activity of washing our hands. To remember in the washing of our hands that God can wash our hearts. That we can come to Him. And what does He say? He says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. All right, so then the next point in verse 21 down through about 29, we have the great contrast in this chapter between the Syrophoenician woman and the Pharisees. Pharisees believed they had a gravy train with biscuit wheels to heaven, that there was nothing that they could do to assault that position, and yet they were faithless. But here is a Gentile woman who has no claim no claim at all upon the kingdom of God. And yet, what does she do? She comes to Christ, and she says what? She says, please heal my daughter. She is vexed of a devil. And Jesus says, well, it's not a very seeker-friendly response, is it? Jesus says, it's not fitting, it's not right, it's not meet to take the children's bread, that is, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to throw that to dogs, that's it, that is, people like you, lady. Ouch. Most people at that point would have packed up their what was left of their pride and walked away, right? Time after time after time, we see where people will not weather even the gentlest mention of the truth. Here's a very stark reality. And what does the lady do? Well, she is like Jacob of old. She is like those whom Jesus describes earlier as those who take heaven by storm. She will not be turned away from Christ. And so she says, you're right. I'm a dog. But even dogs eat crumbs, and a crumb's enough for me. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't know, there's 12 or 15 sermons there, speaking about how the Lord looks upon the humble and the contrite heart. And what does it say about Christ? Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What does she show us here? What is the example that she gives? You want to find your way into the heart of Jesus Christ? Then come humbly. Those proud Pharisees that came to him talking about the law, they did not find a way into his heart. This woman took heaven by storm. This woman received the blessing because she refused to depart until she got it. And she was willing in that blessing to take the most meager, the most paltry, because any blessing from Christ, even though it be a crumb, is better than the full banqueted table that the Pharisees dined at. True statement? Great is thy faith, and may the Lord grant that our faith would be as great. And then the last portion. It is now 3 days. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but you know, they bring their sick to Christ, and he heals them all. And then what does Jesus say? They also glorified the God of Israel. It seems like this multitude that had been following Christ for 3 days had a pretty good mindset. They had a pretty good mind toward Christ. They were glorifying God. They were rejoicing in their Messiah. And then what happened? Jesus said, they've been with me 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. Have you ever stopped and wondered about that? Here's the people that were so interested in following after Christ that what? They didn't eat for a couple of days. They'd rather follow him around the countryside, listening to him teaching and having their sick healed and glorifying God than eat. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. How many churches would shut down today if they closed down the Starbucks bar? Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I know that these people here said what? They said, we don't need to eat for a couple of days. We've got Messiah here. Why would we stop to eat? It's an amazing testimony to their dedication to the Word of God, isn't it? All right, so then we have this second circumstance, probably the same multitude, could even be the same multitude, maybe a different one. But we have the feeding of the 7,000 here, and 7 baskets full. Remember before it was 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples who said, we can't feed them all. Yeah, you can. Here's a basket of scraps. Sure you can. And then 7,000 and 7 baskets. 7, obviously that number of completion or fullness that everyone left completely sated. And I'm going to say it this way. They left completely sated, because they were already sated in their souls, having followed Christ for 3 days without food. It's a great testimony, right? And so what did Jesus do? Notice his good example here. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and did what? He gave thanks. Let us also not neglect to give thanks when we receive from the Lord. All right, thus ends the reading of Matthew chapter 15.